in the last shiur that we gave last week for Pachad Yitzchok on Chanukah, we started Maimer Ches. Let's just quickly review the three questions that we began with. Question number one, the Braisa of my Chanukah indicates that Chanukah is a Yontif. We don't find that with regard to Purim. And Chanukah doesn't have an Isur Melacha. Why should it be called a Yontif? In the Al-Nisim, it doesn't mention anything about a Yontif. Second question was the Gemara in Yuma, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were great because they reinstated Gibor Venora into Shmon Esrei, whereas Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Daniel had omitted those two descriptions of Hashem. And we asked, why is that the hallmark and the singular greatness of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that they were called Gdolah because of that? You would think that their greater impact is they decided what is included in Kisvei HaKodesh, and when Kisvei HaKodesh, the 24 books of Tanakh, should be sealed. And the third question we asked was, based on the Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, the Pasuk in Yeshaya is telling us that there were greater tzaddikim that were caused or generated by the Churban HaBayis than by the building of the Bayis. And that is counterintuitive. We want to understand that. Now to begin where we left off, and this is going to be the new part, the Pachad Yitzchak presents the following thesis. He says we have to listen with an ear that is inclined to see something that's pnimius, that's inner, it's deeper, it's below the surface, and it combines together various deep and profound and inspiring ideas and makes them into one unit. And because this subject that we want to discuss and its relevancy to Chanukah is so deep and yet so elevated, we cannot explain it without a mashal, without a metaphor. The metaphor itself would seem at the surface to be very simple, but it's also very refined and very subtle. You have a group of students, Talmidim, that sit at the feet of their Rebbe, and they drink up his words with great thirst. But there's one particular member of that group, of that Chabura, who is exceptional. He's in a category unto himself. He has what you'd call a Sgula. Sgula means a special, unique attribute. And what is such a Sgula, what is so unique about this particular student amongst the rest? He has the ability to grasp the mindset, the thoughts of his Rebbe, even at the moment that his Rebbe is silent. In other words, the Rebbe teaches and verbalizes whatever he can, but he has thoughts which go beyond the verbal word that he expresses. He has emotions that are so internal and so profound that he cannot express them in words. And at certain points during the lecture, you see that the Rebbe is completely immersed in his thoughts while he is silent. These thoughts at that hour, at that moment, are so deep that there's no possibility of being mashmia, of communicating these thoughts to his students. And therefore, he, the Rebbe, is completely immersed, he's shakua, in those machshavos, those thoughts, while he is silent. He is what you might call the atzmo, unto himself. Those thoughts that he can convey with a substantive speech, they come and they convey messages teaching the students at one certain level. But that level of the spoken, communicated word is relatively lower than what we call the atzmo, the thoughts and the feelings that he has unto himself that he leaves behind, that he cannot convey to his students. He's immersed in thought, the most profound thinking, which cannot be concretized and objectified in words. So even though at that moment in time, the Rebbe is in a, shall we call it a transition, moving as it were from speech to thought, from speech to silence, and therefore that transition is really a total, complete interruption in his connection to his students, because his students cannot link up, they don't have any shaychus, they don't have a relationship to receive anything more than the speech of the Rebbe. They cannot receive from his silence, that they cannot tap into and connect with. Nevertheless, there's one student who, as we said before, is a skula student. He has an uncanny ability that makes him unique, and that is, he can grasp the thoughts of his Rebbe even when the latter is shosek, when he's silent. At that moment, when the Rebbe moves from the world of speech into the world of silence, when he ponders his deepest, most, and innermost thoughts, that's when the Talmud, this particular school of Talmud, climbs to his heights. He reaches his aliyah, his ascending moment. Because at that moment, he really gets the whole of his Rebbe. He climbs up to the highest level because he's really at one with the Rebbe. He is with the Rebbe on that madriga. He's in the liatzmo of the Rebbe. He has penetrated into the world of his Rebbe's deepest and most innermost thoughts. When his Rebbe is ma'ayin, ma'ayin means thinking deeply, li'atzmo, those thoughts are more profound, they're deeper than the thoughts that are el azulat, that he communicates to his talmidim. And now, we take this mashal and we apply it to the nimshal. At the very beginning of the Churban HaBayis, Titus HaRasha enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim. He does what he does, and he blasphemes Chiref, Vegidef, and Noatz. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed only through the Midah, the attribute of Shtika, of silence. He holds himself back, God, so to speak, disciplines himself with a capital H. He's in a world unto himself, liatzmo. And it is to describe that particular moment that the Chachamim say, Mi kamocha ba'ilmim. You don't read it, Mi kamocha ba'ilmim, but ba'ilmim. Who is as great as you are in your silence? An ilim is one who doesn't speak. Sha'ata shomea, because you, God, say Chazal, listen to the niyutim v'vigidufim, to the absolute blasphemy of that Titus, and you are silent. And what we have to derive from this is that with regard to the divine thoughts about the Churban, there is one dimension that is so deep, so profound, that you won't find anything similar in the creation of the Beis HaMikdash, in the building itself. At the moment of Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Himself, is li'atzmo kaviyachol. He's in a state of shtika. It's in the mashal that we gave parallel to the shtika, the silence of the Rav, because he has such profound, deep thoughts, he cannot even convey them in words to his students. When the Rav is ma'ayin and he's mis'amik, he goes deeper and deeper till he gets to the point where it's absolutely negates the possibility of hasbara, of explaining to his talmidim and conveying what he's thinking. But there are rare Talmidim, the school of Talmidim, that can read the Rebbe's mind and feel the Rebbe's thoughts even in silence, even in the Rebbe's silence. And getting back to the Nimshal, in the case of those holy neshamos who are dedicated to the service of Hashem, and they have the skula, that sanctity, that elevates them to the point where they could feel, they can relate to the machshava, to the thoughts of the Rav, who's in a state of shtika. Those who have neshamos of that sort, of such a high, lofty neshama, those are the tzaddikim who find a deeper kind of tzidkus, or a higher kind of tzidkus in the churban situation than in the binyan situation. Because in the binyan, everything in God's thoughts and God's mind is external, is objectified, is accessible. We can see it, we can hear it, we can taste it. But when it comes to churban, the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are so deep and so profound, because we're on a deeper level, that those tzaddikim who have such heligas, such high and holy neshamas, that are able to link in to God's machshavos at the moment of shtika, at the moment of churban, those tzaddikim will reach a higher, a greater and more lofty level than the tzaddikim who experience the binyan abayis. And not only that, but these tzaddikim exceed and super and go beyond even the nevuah of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im can only appreciate and comprehend the word, the spoken word. However, with regard to the churban, in the shtik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Nevi'im throw up their hands and they say, we cannot describe Hashem with the adjectives of Gibor Venora. They cannot, the Nevi'im cannot penetrate into that world of the shtika of Kaviyachal. Is then the Gemara and Chazal appreciate what Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Rabim b'nei shomema m'b'nei avla, or as the Medrash says it, Tzadikim hemidoli b'churbana yoser m'binyana. We're not talking here about numbers. We're not counting how many tzaddikim were generated by the churban abayis, as opposed to the binyan abayis, but we're talking about a qualitative difference, an existential difference, if you will, in the very essence of the relationship between man and God. The tzaddikim hemiduli b'churbana are those tzaddikim who somehow were able, through their profundity, to sink in, to link in, and connect with the Olam HaMachshava, the deep, profound thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, of Shtikas Hashem, at the time of the Churban HaBayis. And this is what the Gemara means in Bava Basra, Chacham Adif Minavi. How does a Chacham supersede a Navi? And you can interpret it in many different ways, and there are many different dimensions. But the real Pnim, the real deeper meaning, the inherent deep meaning of Chacham Adif Minavi is its relevancy to our discussion, when the Nevi'im are only able to see visions that are revealed to them, that are communicated to them by Almighty God. But when Kaviyachal conceals himself with the attribute of silence, then we no longer have Nevuah. The whole phenomenon of Nevuah terminates at the time of Churban, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer communicating, but he's rather withdrawn into his own worldly atzma of silence. And the Kadmonim, the early Chachamim, have said that the word Nevuah comes very etymologically from the Shoresh Niv. And the Pasuk in Yeshayah says, Niv Svasayim. The Nevuah relates to Niv Svasayim, to the power of speech. Chachma, on the other hand, is superior to Nevuah. And the reason for that is because not only is the world of speech open to the Chacham, but even the world of silence is within the grasp of Klei Chachma, of the utensils, the powers of wisdom of the Chacham, and therefore the Chacham supersedes the Navi. And you could say even stronger than that, Chachamim have taught us that sometimes Shtika itself is representative of the highest level of Chachma. The Mishnah in the third parak of Avos formulates the sentence, Siag l'chachma shtika. You want to protect Chachma, which means you want to make Chachma elevated. The wisdom of Shtika is the most profound wisdom that there is. And of course, with regard to Nevuah, Shtika is completely alien. It's irrelevant to Nevuah. Therefore, and to read the Pachet Yitzchak, he says, Haponim halalu ba'adifus achav halavu mizgalamein b'yichud b'shas achurban. This dimension of the superior dimension of Chachma in comparison to Nevuah reveals itself in a very special way at the moment of Churban. At the moment of Churban, when it comes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, the way he, so to speak, behaves, again, this is all Kaviyachal, these terms, is Micha Mocha Ba'ilmim. God reveals himself in the Midah of Shtika, and at that point, the Nevuah, the prophecy, terminates, throws up its arms, and it can no longer count the Shvachim, the praises and the descriptions of God as Gibor Vinora, because at the end of the day, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is absolute truth, how could he tolerate these terrible things that are going on, the blasphemy that is being generated by Titus and all the other Macharvim who come to be Machriv the Churban? V'ein mechazvin b'shvachei HaMakom Baruch Hu, the Nevuah, the Nevi'im, who are dedicated to Nivsvasayim, are incapable of lying, of coming up with words of praise that they think just belies what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing in his Shtika. And at the moment of Churban, the Hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Gibor Venora does not reveal itself to from God to the Zulat to the other. And Nevuah asks the question, Aye Gvurosav, or Aye Norosav. And in truth, Nevuah is going to obligate Daniel and Yirmiyah to leave out the words Gibar Venor, because insofar as Nevuah can only be dedicated to speak truth, the Nivsvasayim of Emes, it would be because of for the Navi to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I describe you and praise you as Gibor Venora. Aye Gvurosav, Aye Norosav. It's only Anshei Knesset Hagdola who sealed the Kisvei HaKodesh, meaning when Nevuah terminated, and without Nevuah, there's no writing of Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh has to have the Ruach HaKodesh of Nevuah. Now at this point, the entire chain of leadership shifts, is transformed and transmitted from the Nevi'im to the Chachamim. And Chachma Adifa Menevuah, Chachma is superior to Nevuah, because Chachma is endowed with utensils that can grasp the thought of the Rav, Kaviyachal, even at the moment of Shtika. And in truth, Chachma creates a new Matbea, a new formulation of praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gibar Nora. Hein Hein Gvur Osav, Hein Hein Nora Osav, because Chachma sees the Shtika and understands on a deepest level how to interpret that Shtika. Chachma is not just repeating and reinstating the Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that once existed, but rather Chachma is adding something. Chachma is being mechadish something by telling us Adarav, Apung Fakert, Hein Hein Gvurosav. It's the Gvur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Shtika, these midos of Gvura Venora, that Mikodem Akelim Shebemofia Harav Neazulat, that in their original form, these midos, these attributes of Gibra Venora reflected themselves in those utensils that the Rav uses, the means to communicate to the other, to his students. Now, when he, with a capital H, is dedicated to the world of Liatzmo, of his thoughts, whatever is relevant to transmit to the other in words and pictures, that's completely clogged up, that's closed up with shtika, with silence. But dafka, at this moment, the tchuna, the essence, the quality of these attributes of Gibor Venora are much more profound. There's an iyun hamachshav liatzmo. There is an in-depth study or thought process in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is liatzmo, and that's even more profound and deeper than the process of revealing himself and conveying messages to the other. And that's inherent in the word adarabba. Chochma says adarabba. Adarabba. Hein hein gvurosav. What is inherent, what is concealed in the word adarabba, is the power of the ribui, of the increase, as a result in the aftermath of Churban, on above and beyond the creation and the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabin b'nei shomema b'nei b'ula, the tzaddikim hem midali b'churbani yosef b'vinyana. It means that there's a chidush of a new matbea, a new formula of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which encompasses within it the very action, the very authority of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola to terminate, to close Kisvei HaKodesh. This new shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents the completion of the period of Nevuah and the beginning of the period of Chachma. And this transition is the only way of understanding the hidden light of the Adarabba, of the Shvach, which is Amok Tahom, which is deep as the very center of the universe, Upisgat Marom, and as high as the height of the most lofty place in the universe, where the depth and the height meet each other, is in the word Adarabba, in the Hein Hein Gvurosov. And just as there are different levels to the depth of speech, so too there are different levels to the depth and the profundity of silence. When we speak about silence, we speak about two categories of shtika, of silence. One is even deeper than the other. What we have in mind is that the human mind and the human thought process, which is primary and reigns at the moment of shtika, that thought process is much more profound. Rechoke hi yoser v'efsharis hagilui. It's even further away than the possibility, the potential of revelation, of surfacing. May Asher Machshava Sholetis Be Shtika Hapchusa Biamka. There's another kind of thought which reigns at the moment of silence, but it's less deep. It's not on the same profound level. And in a parallel sense, when we talk about Darkei Hashkocha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected with this world, what we call in our language divine providence, there is on the one hand levels, there are on the one hand levels and levels of omek, of depth, in that hanhag of Mi Kamocha Be'ilmim, there are levels of depth in Mi Kamocha Be'ilim. Mi Kamocha Be'ilim is one madrega of the depth of praise and revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to some extent, it doesn't shine a candle to the Madrega, the Omek of Micha Mocha Ba'ilmin. And so too, in a mashal, in the metaphor, the Madreges Ha'ilmus the Kriyas Yamsif Yamuka Yosef Hashem Madreges Ha'ilmus the Me'ever Nar Arnon Nachal Arnon. And I believe the Pachad Yitzchak at this point is comparing and paralleling Mikamocha Ba'elim to Mikamocha Ba'ilmim. Ba'elim is the mighty God, and certainly the different Madreges in the greatness or the mightiness of God and His revelation in miracles. For example, the greatest is Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the most powerful Micha Mocha Ba'elim, and that's where the pasuk is recited. But in a parallel way, exactly parallel, when it comes to the Ilmus, which means the silence of Hashem, we have different Madregas. One is deeper than the other. And we have to know that the silence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he observes, when he sees the Goyim Mecharkachim Behechal V'Shosek, at the time of the Churban, he sees the blasphemy and the desecration of sanctity on the part of the enemy of the Jew, and he, God, is silent, that's not the most profound of all silence. There's a shtika which is even deeper than the ilmus, than the silence of HaKadosh Baruch at the time when the Goyim go in and desecrate the Mikdash. He calls it shtika lifnim mi shtika, omek lifnim mi omek. What is the kind of shtika that we can describe the depth and the profundity of that shtika, of that silence, that it supersedes even the depth and of the silence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the enemies of the Jews and the enemies of God are defiling the Mikdash? And in order to answer this question, we have to read a pasuk, a famous pasuk in Amos, in the 8th chapter, Hine Yamim Ba'im. And in that pasuk, Amos, the Navi, describes the vision of what will be at the end of time. The pasuk says, V'no Mayim Ad Yam V'lo Yimtzau. V'no Mayim Ad Yam Mitzafon V'ad Mizrach Yishotetu Levakish Etzvar Hashem V'lo Yimtzau. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai interprets this pasuk in Amos in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, Chas v'shalom shetishtakech Torah miYisrael. It cannot be that Amos is foretelling the impossibility of retaining and gaining access to Torah because Torah is going to be forgotten. V'no mayim ad yam, in other words, the waters of Torah go away, and it's too far to be mevakish dvar Hashem, and those who will seek the will and the speech of God, lo yimtzol, they won't find it. Chas v'shom tishtachach Torah miYisrael. Doesn't the pasuk say at the end of Chumash in Dvarim Lamed Aleph, lo tishtachach mipizaro, lo tishkach mipizaro, elamani mekayim v'lo yimtzol? What is the pasuk in Amos indicating? Shelo yimtzu halacha brura u'mishnah brura b'makom echad. A very strange statement of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai describing the achus hayomim. And the Maharal miPrague in his drush al haTorah says the following. Ki mikevon sheYisrael v'raisa chadhu, domehi haTorah b'pizura l'pizuram shel Yisrael. Kishem sheYisrael b'etzem hem goy echad, v'al yedei gzeras Hashem Yisparach u'mefuzar u'meforad b'in ha'amim, kach tzuraso shel Yisrael, shehi haTorah lo timtzo b'makom echad, rak mefuzar. Let's first translate the words of the Maharal miPrague literally. He says that there's an absolute identity, an equation, as it were, between Yisrael and Oraisa. The Torah is spread out, and Klal Yisrael is spread out. Even though the Torah is one, it's one entity, it's indivisible, and Klal Yisrael is also Goy Echad, it's one in indivisible unity. But Hashem Yisparach decreed that Klal Yisrael should be Mefuzar Umefarad Bein Amin. And that's the Torah itself won't be found in one place. It'll be Mefuzar Umefarad. That's what the Pasuk in Amos is saying, V'lo Yimtso, which is interpreted by Rav Shim Bar Yochai as a reference to Halacha Brura U'Mishnah Brura B'Makom Echad. What do we learn from this strange statement of the Maral in interpreting the drush of Rav Shim Bar Yochai in the Pasuk in Amos? Lemeidem anu mizeh ki kishem shepizurim shel Yisrael meshamishu gorem la'ashibut sheumos meshabdim Yisrael mitoch sheumos kvuos hein bi'artzom Yisrael pizurim b'chol ha'artzos yesh b'yodah shel kol uma ligzar gzeros u'l'shabed es Yisrael hanesunim etzla b'pizurim b'pizurim k'mo chein pizura shel chochmas ha'torah meshamish kli lechachmos chitzonios lahaik velilchotz al chachmas haTorah. This vision and prophecy of Amos is not a prophecy that relates to the end of days, to the Bayom Ahu, when Yi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, when the nations of the world will recognize the one God. But rather, this prophecy is foretelling a period in Jewish history of gzeros and shibudim. Each nation throughout the bitter exile in Jewish history will decree various gzeros, terrible gzeros, and subjugate the people of Israel. And all this is a result of Pizuram Shel Yisrael, which means that the people of Israel are spread out, they're splintered in smaller groups, they are located throughout the different countries of the exile, and that causes the Shibud, that the Umos HaMeshabed Es Yisrael, that the nations of the world are able to subjugate the Jewish people in their respective countries. And that's because the Umos are situated in a permanent way in their country, whichever country it might be on the face of the earth, in Yisrael, or Pizurim are spread out throughout these countries. That gives the power and the energy force to the Umos HaOlam to subjugate the Jewish people. And this is all parallel to the Torah itself. What happens to the Chochmas HaTorah is that it gets spread throughout the various locations and the various countries and nations of the world. And there's something called Chochma Chitzonis, and we've discussed this in the past. The Chachma Chitzonis has now a kli, so to speak, to pressure Chachma Satorah. What does that mean? He says, Mitoch Shachachma Hativis, the natural wisdom of science, Kavuahi B'Mizgeret Hativis, is set in stone in the natural order of the universe. Biyada lios mechunasa bimkoma hamesudar bimishtar shel dover dover alofanov, which here he's quoting a pasuk in Mishle. He's saying lo chein chachmas haTorah, asher bi atzmius mahusa gorola mishutof im gorola shel knesses yisrael ukshem shashishim ribu nefesh mefuzarmeim adlik tseachon shel arberucho seholon kvokhem mefuzaru bir alocha al pnei shiva yomim da'oraisa Akinus hakavua vamishtar hamesudar shechachmas haunus nesuna behem sholeach loshon shalag hamashuach bi'eres mul hapizur hanora shechachmas hatora hamagiad kidei kach shechachmei hatora zkukim heim lanua mayim viadyam limtso es birura shel halocha. We're about to understand, my friends, the depth of shtika that's even deeper than the shtika of goyim mecharkin v'heichal. The Torah itself is so spread out, it's so diffused, if you will, through the nations of the world during Golus, that the birur of halacha, the clarity of halacha, becomes an impossible goal to reach. The Chochmas Ha'umos are reigning supreme. They have a regiment that is structured, and they shoot out with lag, with a sense of ridicule, and a very toxic ridicule against the Torah, the Chochmas HaTorah. Because Chochmas HaTorah has reached the lowest level in which the Chachmei HaTorah are not able to find the Birura Shel Halacha. This is the deepest shtik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Goyim Mechakim V'Shosek, Aku Meshabdim V'Shosek, God is Shomei Chirufo V'Shosek. The Goyim are defiling and desecrating the Beis HaMikdash. The idol worshippers are subjugating the Jewish people. They are blaspheming and God is silent. Mi kamocha ba'ilmim. This is the Gvurosov and the Rorosov of Shtika. But yet, there's something even more profound. In the first case of Mi kamocha ba'ilmim, adaraba, hein gvurosov, hein norosov. The ilmus, God's overcoming his natural sense of wanting to lash out against these blasphemers. That ilmus is one level. But when he sees, he with a capital H, his chachma, the wisdom of the Torah, kaviyochel pizura, miyam ad yam, from one ocean to the next, until the point in which chachma chitzonis, the secular knowledge and wisdom of science, becomes so supreme, becomes so exalted, with such azus metzach, with such chutzpah, and it lashes out against the Torah and the Chochmas HaTorah. And to paraphrase a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, ki lo ki bincha hameisu b'ni achai. Your Torah is a dead Torah, chas v'shalom. Our wisdom is alive. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shtika is omek lefnimi omek, shtika lefnimi shtika. It's the most profound and deep shtika that you could imagine. This shtika is even greater and more profound, more shocking, if you will, than the shtika in the face of goyim, hamecharchichim, akum hameshabdim. There we said, adaraba, hein hein gvurosov, hein hein nurosov. But regarding the shtika in the presence, in the face of the chutzpah, the flagrancy, and the haughtiness of chachma chitzonis, here we need not just an adarabah, But that Shsika means an Adarabah and an Adarabah. The Golus of Chochmas HaTorah, which parallels the Golus, the exile of the Jewish people. The Chochmas HaTorah, which is now downtrodden in the various nations of the Jewish exile. That is the high point, the most profound Nora and Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhog of Shsika, of Micha Mocha Be'ulmim. And Dafka, when this Shsika reaches such a deep level of Shsika and Ilmus, this is what creates the big Chiddush of Ribui B'nei Shomema M'bnei HaBu'ula. We're looking for the biggest Chiddush, the biggest Pella of Ribui B'nei Shomema M'bnei HaBu'ula, meaning the increase of Tzadikim as a result of Churban, then the greatest Pella, the greatest Chiddush, is the Ribui B'nei Shomema that is inherent, that is hidden in the Golus of Chochmas HaTorah, Eitz Hashara Chochmos. In that silence, there has to be an Adarabah v'Adarabah, reaching, as it were, to a deeper level, the most profound level of understanding the Machshavos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at those moments of Shtika. And here the Pachad Yitzchak says the following, that during this period of Golus, when the Chochmas HaTorah is spread thin throughout the world, and it is declared inferior, it's berated, and it is lowered in the eyes of Chochmas HaTeva, Dafka, in that Golus, the Talmidei Chachamim kill themselves in the Ol Shel Torah. And as a result of being Memes Atzma B'Ol Shel Torah, to find and clarify the Halacha, Halacha Brura, comes the fulfillment of the pasuk in Mishlei Chof Ches, Mevakshei Hashem Yavinu Kol. In the powerful depths of the intellect that is burning on fire because of this feeling that Chochmas HaTorah is spread out thin, within that emotional relationship of the Talmidei Chachamim to the Torah, in its pizur, is found in a deeper level, below the surface. The revelation, the ability to grasp, the silence, the ilmus, kaviyochel v'akodesh bochel, v'adarabah, hein hein gvurosov, hein hein norosov. Dafka, as a result of the pizur, of the fact that the Torah is spread so thin, Olim u'mis'alim u'mis'amkim basagosom u'mis'rabim b'nei ha'shomeim v'tzadikim omdim b'churbona, as a result of this process of exile, in the aftermath of destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the pizur somehow gives birth to the greatest ascendancy, the grasp of the most profound depth of the tzaddikim, of the chachamim, and there's a ribui of tzaddikim as a result of this shomema, of this destruction. And here we see the difference, the fundamental difference between the Golus of Yavon and all the other exiles. Because with regard to all the other exiles, the Golus is really the Golus of Klal Yisrael. Obviously, as a result, the Torah itself is in Golus, together with the Jewish people. But in Golus Yavon, the primary goal, the target of the Yavonim, is the Golus of Chochmas HaTorah, to replace Chochmas HaTorah with Chochma Chitzonis. And, as a spin-off, Klal Yisrael is together with the Torah in Golus. But what's going into Golus, the primary victim and the objective of the Megalim, of those Yevonim who send us into exile, is the Torah itself. That's their primary goal. And when we we estimate and evaluate the Shomema, the destruction, the desecration of Torah at the hands of the Yevanim in comparison with all the other desecrations of other exiles, we say that the Midas Hamadas Tzadikim V'Ribei Abonim G'dolei Hi Pikam V'Shomemes Golos Yov Me'asher V'Shomemes HaGolos HaGolios HaKodmos. The level of Hamadas Tzadikim as a result of the Shomemus, of the desolation and desecration of the Yevanim, who have exiled the Torah, is even that much greater than the Tzadikim that resulted from the aftermath of destruction of all the other exiles. Because the Anhagas Hashtik of Ilmis, in the case of Yavan, God's silence is even deeper, much deeper, than it was in the previous exiles. And therefore it comes out that if we evaluate the depths of the Ilmis, the silence of Hashem at the time of Yavan, we have to realize that with the Erech Zeh Yisrabba Koshal Shomemus Yom V'Amoras Tzadikim, that deeper Shomemus, the desecration of Torah, of Chochmas HaTorah, at the hands of the Yavan, which is so much more profound than all the other desecrations that preceded it, will be measured and will result in a greater, both quantitatively and qualitatively, Hamoras Tzadikim, the aftermath of the Tzadikim who delve into the depths and grasp the depths of God's thought. However, we must find some way of being mefarish this entire subject matter that Chachamim have taught us, that there's something superior to Churban in comparison to Binyan HaBayis, that the destruction supersedes in its significance the creation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? At this point in the Pachad Yitzchak, he's developing a three-stage historical process. We start with Binyan HaBayis, we go to Churban HaBayis, and then we come back to Binyan, which is after the Churban, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And everything that we've said about the superiority, the adifus of Churban in relationship to Binyan, and we said it's ribui shomema ala bu'ula, that the desolation is even greater than the settlement, all this only applies to the relationship between Churban and the first Binyan that preceded the Churban. This has no relationship whatsoever to the relationship between the Churban and the Binyan that comes after the Churban, the rebuilding after the desolation. Because the Binyan process that's going to take place after the Churban is going to be a tikkun, is going to fix any sort of kilkul. And for sure, we cannot say that the tikkun process in the Binyan after Churban will fall short in its value, in its significance to the Churban that it comes to fix up to be metaken. So whatever we said to explain Reb Shem Bar Yochai, the Maimer about Hamonis Tzadikim in Shir HaShirim, in the Churban, that's only with regard to the Churban after the first Binyan. However, with regard to that Churban, in one specific dimension, there is an adifus. But the Binyan that comes after the Churban, that's the tikkun of the Churban, that's meant to rectify the desolation, the desecration, that for sure is a complete, perfect tikkun without any element of pchisus, of deficiency. And that's because that building, that Binyan, will absorb within it all the powers and all the schools, everything that's good that was hidden in the period of Churban, which came before the Binyan. In other words, when we speak about the skulos tovos of the positive features that are inherent, that are secretly deep below the surface of the Churban, those great things, like for example, we spoke about the ability of the Chachamim to appreciate, to grasp the shtika of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his illness, the ability of the Chachamim to kill themselves in order to try to discover the Halacha Brura as a result of the Pizur Chachma. All that of Churban will be fixed, will be elements of goodness that will exist even in Binyan, and we have to see how that works. But all the negative and catastrophic devastations of Churban, that will all be completely rectified at the time of the ultimate Binyan. And let's go back to our mashal in order to clarify this. We have the thoughts of the Rebbe when he is silent, and these are so deep that they cannot be conveyed to the students. That's when the Rebbe is, as we said, in his thought process, li'atzmo. His thoughts are not being conveyed to the Zulat, that specific Talmud, that school of Talmud that we described, who's able to link in, to connect to the Machshavas HaRabish Dikasa, to the thoughts of the Rebbe when he's silent. And then he receives this Talmud, a Chachma that is even deeper. But at the same time, what we have to understand is, even though there is the Tochen, again, we're going to differentiate here between two concepts, the Tochen and the Kabbalah. Let's see what this means. From the perspective of the Tochen, the inner kernel of what this Talmud is able to grasp, it is deeper. But from the perspective of Kabbalah, there's a deficiency here. What now we have to develop and clarify the difference between Tochen and Kabbalah. This is the phrase that the Gemara uses in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin, Aliyah V'Kotzpah. It has something good, but yet it has something bad in it. Because the Kabbalah of the Rav, when the Rav communicates to the Talmidim, we'll talk about all the Talmidim now, this itself allows the Rav, the Rebbe, to give over something of himself when he turns to his Talmidim and he communicates with them. But in the case of the Shtika of the Rav, although this Talmud is able to, as we said before, hook up to the thoughts, the deep thoughts of the Rebbe, but he's completely, although he's into a very deep tochen, a substance, but yet he's completely excluded from Kabbalah. That Kabbalah of when the Rebbe turns to the Talmud with Ma'ar Panim, with the light of his face, and he gives over to the Talmud, that's completely lost in the case of Shtika, even though in tochen, that unique school of Talmud is able to link up to the deeper Machshavas of the Rav, but what he's lacking, what he's missing, is that movement of the Rav when he turns towards the Talmud. And that move itself, that tnu'ah, k'sharav ponel atav, is itself completely suffused with an abundance of light. And it is a source for the aliyah of the Talmud, for the Talmud to go up and up and up, like the pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra says, Vayikra el Moshe. The kriya itself of the Rav when he turns towards the Talmud is also included in the process of transmission of Torah from the Rav to Talmud. When the Rebbe is in the mode of Iyun Li'atzmo, when he's thinking to himself, then his Pni'ah Lazulat, his turning towards the Talmud, is excluded. These two are contradictory, mutually exclusive. So the Kabbalah from the Rav, when he is ma'ayin li'atzmo, it's not really there. I mean, whatever element of Kabbalah is, it's minimal in comparison, in contrast to the Kabbalah in a Rav, when the Rav expresses himself in words and sentences, when he turns to his Talmud to convey his message. So we can say, yesh b'zeh ma'ashem b'zeh, yesh b'zeh ma'ashem b'zeh, meaning there's some element of superiority in the moment of Shtika with regard to that school of Talmud, when the Machshav of the Rav is Liatzmo, and that's a superior element, but at the same time there's a drawback, there's a deficiency, and there's a superiority to the Kabbalah in a Rav when he conveys the message verbally and looks to the Talmud. The Kabbalah of the Talmud, that school of Talmud min Rav at the moment of Ma'ayin Liatzmo, is a very superficial kind of Kabbalah, because basically the Rav is not directing his thoughts towards that Talmud. There's no pnia to the Talmud. The Talmud somehow is digging his hand into the pot, but the Rebbe is not directing anything towards the Talmud. On the other hand, when the Rav is mashmiya dvarav, is just when he is conveying his message to the Talmud in words and in sentences, the Kabbalah of the Talmud for the Rav is that much greater, although the Tochen is more superfluous, is more superficial, excuse me. And now we can begin to see the three stages that we spoke about in terms of Binyan, Churban, and Binyan as it applies to the Aliyah of a Talmud. At the beginning, the Talmud can only link up to the Dibur, the speech of his Rav, and then he gets even higher when he connects to the thoughts of the Rav, in that case of the school of Talmud, when the Rav is Ma'ayin Liatzmo. But nevertheless, those Machshavos, since they're not directed towards the Talmud, they're completely excluded from the Kabbalah of the Pnias HaRav LaTalmud, when the Talmud looks towards the Rav. And then in the third stage, what happens is the Rav can now turn to the Talmud with Diburim, and he can convey to the Talmud those deep machshavos that previously he was incapable of conveying. They were all liatzmo. But now those liatzmo machshavos turn and are elevated to conveying and to the level of pnia el Talmud. They have both tochen and kabbalah. The same thing applies in a parallel sense in the case of churban and binyan. Yes, the churban itself, in one specific dimension, has a superior element and it supersedes the binyan, but yet we would never say that the binyan that comes after the churban is in any way inferior, falls shy of the churban that came before it. Whatever elements of superiority of adifus inhere in the churban, all those superior elements inhere in the binyan as well. And that is that there's a great yitaron, a great superiority to the depth of hanhaga, shtika, and ilmis in comparison to the gili and the dibur of binyan. But when the period of churban finally comes to an end, and the period, the binyan period begins, there will be an ascendancy in aliyah which is absolute, total, from churban to binyan. Nothing will be left behind. All the positive elements that inherit churban will exist in the binyan, because Klal Yisrael will go higher and higher, and all the machshavas that at the time of the churban were bebechinas harav ma'ayin liatzmo, was Hakadosh Baruch Hu to unto Himself, and therefore God was acting with the anhaga of shtik, of silence and ilmus. Now they can be grasped in the binyan itself. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the Rav who turns to his Talmidim, and with all his machshavos, he's able to convey them, and they in turn on the Makablim. This new binyan, following Churban of the Geula, is binyan chadash shel Geula shniya boli olam, when it comes into the world. We find in the words of Chazal that the second bias was superior to the first bias. What it means is that during the first bias, they were able to say Agibar Vanora, and then there was Churban. And at that point, they interrupted, they completely terminated the Gadol and Gibar. You can no longer understand and comprehend Gadol v'Gibar in its revealed sort of way, and therefore they felt they had to cease describing Hashem as Gadol v'Gibar. And then, after the Churban, we began an entire experience of Midos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to engender, which He was able to create as a result of His Shtika. He saw what was going on at the time of the Chibur. He was Shosek. He heard what was going on and he was silent. The Nevuah said, I cannot deal with this Shtika. and she decided to stop with the Shvachim, to terminate those praises to Hashem, and omit Gadol v'Gibor. Chachma, on the other hand, which is superior to Nevuah, and grasped the Shtik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, Adarabah, hein hein gvurosav. And they began once again to recite Gibor v'Nora. But we must understand, Shachazor shebekanu rak benogel guf hatevos shall gol v'nira benogel pirushin shall satevos lo hoisekan chazor ki im his chadshus ki achshav hoyu shvachim alolu nemorim b'tosefes shall adarabo. So this is the point in which Emir Tzashem will take a pause and will try to understand exactly how the ultimate geula will bring about the adarabah v'adarabah, and that the ultimate geula will be the perfect tikkun, and it will no longer be, you know, gadol v'nora, gibor v'nora on one level of pirush, which is really not the true pirush of these words. It's a more of a schadshus, until finally, at the time of the ultimate geula, the ultimate tikkun, the gadol and gibor, the gibor v'nora will be pirushan and achidushan, and this will Emir Tzashem pick up, and we hope and pray that we can finish Maibur Ches in the next year, Be'ezer Hashem.